Welcome to the Grace Hill Podcast, a weekly podcast of our Sunday messages driven by our pastor, Michael Norman. Grace Hill exists to bring God's biblical truth to your everyday life. As we begin this week's message, we invite you to open your Bibles and capture what God has in store for you today.
What if? How many of you want to live your life with what ifs? But I want us to take just a moment today and ask the question, what if? What if we started this year differently than we've started other years? What if we approach this year differently than we've approached years in the past? And instead of pressing New Year's resolutions, instead of avoiding everything altogether and just keep rolling along, what if this year we ask the Lord for a New Year's renewal? That we just said, Lord, help me in my life to have a spiritual renewal. Help me to have that one singular focus that I would be fully devoted to you. And in fact, King David had this prayer in the Old Testament in Psalms 27. In Psalms 27, it says this, "The one thing I ask, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." I absolutely love that prayer. And then I love in the New Testament where Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus as they're preparing for this meal, and Martha's running around, and she's saying, "Jesus, tell Martha to help me. Tell her to help me." And Jesus looks at her and says, "Hey, there's lots of things you're worried about, but only a few things are important." How many of you know that? Only a few things in life are important. That we push for all this stuff, but there's only a few things that are important. And then Jesus said, in fact, only one thing is important, is needed. And he said, "Mary has chosen what is better, sitting in my presence, than being busy with life. Mary has chosen better, and it won't be taken from her." So I love the singular focus of these. And so how do you and I become fully devoted followers of Christ? How do we become disciples? Fully committed disciples, following the Lord, obedient. So that's what we're talking about over this three-week series. And so last week we talked about how we could lay out all the principles of Scripture. We could say, okay, you have to be obedient to all the Bible. That you have to be know Christ as your Savior. That you have to know who Jesus is. That we could go through the confidence that we have in Christ. We could go through all of the principles, all of these truths, all of these concepts, and we would be right. But today, we've determined that we're going to go through where the rubber meets the road, the practice of it all. We've determined that we're going to cover the actual steps of what disciples do, knowing ultimately that we're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved at all by the things that we do to earn salvation, that I could even propose that we could do enough good deeds to impress God, that I have stepped up this ladder, and man, I am better than Jeremy, and Jeremy's better than Brad, and Brad is better than Betsy, that somehow we could build a good enough platform in comparison to others. So no. When we're talking about disciples do, the foundation is we're saved by grace through faith, that it is a gift from God. Salvation is free, but discipleship, growing in maturity, is a process. So what are the practices, the rubber meets the road, the characteristics and the habits of disciples? Let's walk through those today. Yesterday, last week, we talked about one, is that disciples, what they do is they attend church. Really, we clarified that concept, and we talked about they're tied in with a local body, is what we talked about. And of course, they're going to go to church and be connected with the body of Christ. There's so much we miss out on, so much beauty we miss out on if we're not connected to a local body. Second of all, we invite. That's just what disciples do. They believe in what God has done and what God wants to do, and so they're going to invite. But then third, if you're following with me today, I want to preface this with, I love what the book of James says. James, the half-brother of Jesus, same mother, different father, obviously. And James was not a follower of Jesus during his time on earth. Do you think he's going to think his older brother is divine? But then later he came to faith. Here's what it says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what the word says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and when he turns away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. Fully devoted. Attend, connect, invite. But also, number three, if you're taking notes today, disciples serve. Disciples serve. In fact, I love this verse. This is a great verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we, you and me, that we are God's handiwork. Another version says, we are God's masterpiece. That you are God's masterpiece of all creation. This was his crowning achievement, so to speak, as if he was limited, but this was his highest creation. You are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. I love that. That there are good things for you to do, and good things for me to do, and good things for us corporately to do together that God has created for us to do. I love this, and I love that all of the pressure is off. That we say, oh, I've got to do good works. Brittany, oh man, what do I do? I love that there's no pressure. Why? Because God's already prepared them. They're there. All we have to do is to make the most of the moment. All we have to do is be prepared. All we have to do is to say, Lord, I'm ready, I'm willing, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm fully devoted to you. I'm just going to do the things that you have already prepared for me to do. So if God's prepared them and we're obedient, then for us, the pressure of outcome is not there. Does that make sense? I don't have to bring about a result here. All I have to do is to do what this thing God has prepared me for and let him prepare it in advance. Let him worry about the back end. I just have to be obedient and do the things that he has prepared for me, the places he's put me into. I just have to do those things. But why do we serve in the church? Because the verse we just read in Ephesians 2:10 can be inside or outside of the local church setting, that there are good works prepared for us to do. So what about the concept of serving within and with the local church? Let me read a few verses for us that we need to listen and do, hear and do. Ephesians 4:11, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Verse 12, if you're taking notes, highlight this in your Bible, highlight it on your phone, circle it on your sheets. This is a great verse. So here's the deal. He gave all of these different parts and ministries, verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body may be built up. Why do we serve? So that the body may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That we serve in the church to equip, to build up, to help this body of believers, even from the oldest, even to the youngest, that we're serving to build up and equip. That's why we put such an emphasis on our nursery and on our Grace Kids and on our toddlers, because we don't want to simply babysit. That we're not in the babysitting business. We are in the discipling, equipping, developing business of leading people to closer to Christ. And if we can teach our pre-K, our toddlers and two, on their level of understanding, praise God, we're going to teach them. Then if we're going to teach the mature Christian to go even further in the Lord, we're going to teach the new Christian, the new follower of Christ, to go even further in the Lord. That's what we're doing, is teaching, equipping the body of Christ. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that the church has different gifts. The church is a body, it has different parts. And it says that the parts and the different gifts, that they come together and they literally form a body, one needing the other and them needing each other. That some are hands, some are hearts, some are feet, some are eyes, and that not everything can be the eye, not everything can be the hand, that we work together in this beautiful relationship of how God brings people together to serve. And in each of us doing our parts, needs are met. And each of us doing our parts, our needs are met and we're meeting others' needs. And it's this beautiful thing of giving and receiving and doing what we were built and made to do. Romans 12, it says this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If your gift is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is leading, then do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Romans 12 is reinforcing this truth that we have different gifts. But we're doing it together, and if everyone does it, it blesses, and it's expressed within the body, the local body, and that we're do it to well. And in fact, at one part, it says do it cheerfully. So if you have the gift of hospitality, man, utilize that gift in serving and blessing and benefiting others. If you have the gift of playing an instrument, use it. Otherwise, Tamara and I are up here, and you do not want that. If you can sing, sing. I promise you don't want me to sing. The joke in staff meeting is I sit on the first row. The first joke in staff meeting is, have you ever heard when Pastor Mike sings really loud? It throws me off on stage. I can sing better than that, Forrest, I promise. No, I can't. But as it goes on and it's saying, hey, if you can, you have the gift of caregiving. Some have spiritual gifts that God uses in your lives. Use those things. If you're able to give, give generously. If you're able to administrate, jump in and organize and administrate and lead. If you're able to teach, can you teach? Are you teaching? Are you doing the gifts that God has placed in your life? If you're called to serve in the nursery and clean up on stage, in front of the scenes, behind the scenes, are you doing the things that God has created us to do? Guys, as we serve, it's my prayer that it never becomes routine for us. It never becomes out of duty that, yeah, I'm going to do it because I signed up for it and I'm going to do it. My prayer is that it never becomes routine for us, but it is always purposeful. It's always excellent. It's always the best that we can do for the Lord, and that it's always praising God for the chance to do the serving and do the things that we get to do. My prayer is also this, is that as we serve, that it's always a chance to bond with other believers who you're serving with in the moment. Because the church is about community and about a brotherhood and about unity in the faith and us moving forward despite our flaws, despite our differences, despite our similarities, that we are moving forward in the same direction and bringing others with us on the journey. And I pray that as we serve, that we're bonding with those who we serve with, because it's designed to be this beautiful end result of loving and being loved, and knowing and being known, and helping and being helped. And it's messy, and it's time-consuming, and people always are messy and time-consuming. But it's worth it in the deepest ways of biblical community. As you guys know, my father passed on November 1st. And so there's been a massive shift with my mother, who's now living alone. She's now covering things that she never covered before and doing things she's never done before. That now she has severe RA, so she limps and she has a little cane and she's a trooper and she'll scoot around the house, I mean, like 50 miles an hour. So the other day, I went a few months ago and mowed the yard, and I was talking to her and I said, your yard looks really good. And she goes, yeah. And I said, you know, you must be watering it. She goes, well, I fertilized it the other day. So I'm thinking she hired a young guy in the neighborhood to come and fertilize her yard. And so I said, well, who'd you hire to do it? No, I did it. Well, I know. Who'd you hire to do it? She goes, no. I went out there and she fertilized the yard. She can't even walk up the slope of her driveway, but she's out there with the roller for her life. I said, how did you even get it to the car? She said, well, the person at the Walmart helped me get it in the car. How'd you get it out of the car? I cut a hole in the top of it, in the back of the trunk. I scooped some out, put it in the spreader, spread it in the backyard, scooped some more till the spreader. So I spread it in the front yard, and then it was light enough for me to pick up and just put in the spreader, and I pulled it in the garage. I was like, what, are you crazy? But there's things that she can't do now. And there's things that she is unable to do. And so this week, she spent the night at my house and we were talking. And she was saying, everyone's coming up. And they're saying, Mom, how can, or Marilyn, how can we help you? And they're saying, hey, can we come over and can we cut your yard? Can we come over and can we help you clean something out? Hey, can we come over and do this? And she goes, but I don't want people to help me because I can do it myself. She has this independent streak in her. And she goes, and besides that, I don't want to bother people. And I said, Mom, they want to help you. Mom, they can help you. And for 54 years, Mother, you've been a pastor's wife and you have served and given and loved and sacrificially been there for people, and now it's your turn. And she goes, yeah, I know all that, Michael, but I just don't want to bother people. So the pastor side came out of me. I pulled out the Bible and I started reading scriptures to her. She's like, Michael, I've been a pastor's wife for years. I said, 54 years, but clearly you don't know the Bible yet. Yeah, she goes, you're not too old for me to whip you either. I didn't really say that, but I said, I've been a pastor. I know, but let me show you a few things that maybe you missed. And I began to talk to her about the beauty of the church. And I began to talk to her about serving and being served, loving and being loved, knowing and being known. And it was this incredible moment with me and my mom standing in the kitchen where I think some of the pride and some of the ego and some of the guard of the moment had she laid down. And she said, you know what? You're totally right. And there are some things that I'm going to call. She named John and Susan and several others who had volunteered to help, who she's going to let them do a few tasks that help her because they've offered multiple times. My point is, there was this beauty for her saying, you know what? Not only is it about serving and doing, but it's about allowing myself to be helped as well. And when we come together in the church, that so many times we're looking for something and we need to give, but there's times that where we've been giving and we need to allow ourselves to be given to. It is this beautiful, beautiful relationship that is designed to be in the church, and I know it's messy, but we're growing in the process of full devotion. So not only does a disciple attend, invite, or connected to and invite, not only do they serve, but if you're taking notes today, a disciple, one of the habits that they do is this, that they give. And when we talk about giving, that this is often a tense moment for some. Some are saying, you know what, I don't have any to give, and I understand. Some are saying, why is the church always asking for giving, you know, for money? Why does God even need it? I mean, isn't he God, and he can do what he, you know, why doesn't God ask someone else who has a little more? So people get really tense or tend to get tense when you talk about money, when you talk about health, and when you talk about their children. That's when people tend to get tense. So why don't we simply look at scripture and then talk about scripture for just a few minutes. So let me read a few verses to clarify and then give a few reasons. Deuteronomy 15, it says, give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, because we give willingly, the Lord God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. Deuteronomy 16 says, every man shall give as he's able, according to the blessing of the Lord, your God, which he has given to you. 1 Chronicles 29:9 says, then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart. And while we're on the topic here of heart and giving with our whole heart and offering it willingly, in Matthew 6 in the New Testament, the Lord addresses the topic of finances and giving and all of that. And he says, where your money is, your heart follows. Now, we would think the other way around, that we would think where our heart is, that we're going to invest in that. But God knew how we were wired and how our sinful nature is incredibly selfish and we hold things really, really close. But so what he tells us, and he clarifies in Matthew 6, that the things that we put our money into, the heart follows that because we're wired that way. And so he's saying, guard your heart, because where you put your finances, and where you put your treasures, your heart follows that. But why give? Why is this a characteristic of a disciple? What does our giving go to, and why are we saying this is a part of what a disciple habits and habitually does? So first of all, there's no pressure ever here when we talk about giving. Hopefully, we never give out of duty. But instead, I hope that our giving is out of vision and out of future and out of what can happen as we give to the kingdom of God and advance the kingdom of God. And so hopefully it's never out of duty. But why? Why do we give? Why can't someone else give? Why do we give? This isn't in your notes, but I wanted to write down three things today that why we give. The first reason that we give, number one, is this, is that our giving changes us. That as we give to the Lord, it changes us. Because when we give, we're giving out of obedience. The Lord talks about giving and generosity, even talks about the tithe. You can debate that Old Testament, New Testament, I don't care, but there's a whole principle of generosity. So, and when we're obeying God, we're doing sometimes what is uncomfortable. And when we're uncomfortable, it helps us grow to all that God has called us to be. In fact, Abraham in the Old Testament had to be willing to let his son Isaac go. And as he was willing to do that in that incredibly difficult time, it grew him into the man of faith that God could use in greater ways down the road, all the way to where Hebrews 11, he's listed in God's Hall of Fame. And God can do so much more as it changes us through a wise person, through an unselfish person, than a person that is overly concerned with their possessions. Because our possessions in a split moment can be lost. And in fact, in Matthew 6, again, it deals with this, and it says, you know, don't raise up treasures on earth because they can rust, they can be destroyed, the thief can take. It says, the point is fixing your eyes on the Lord and building up treasures in heaven. Because when our gaze and our focus is an eternal focus, we can step out in faith in avenues that we never thought possible. Number two, if you're taking notes here, writing this down, is that why do we give and what does it do? Our giving brings glory to God. You see, giving in our sinful nature is not naturally in there. And God is saying, okay, I want you to be unselfish, that we're born looking out for our own desires, and that as we know God and we submit to God and we give everything that we are and our dreams and our hopes to God, it helps us to be others-minded. And here's the beautiful thing, is that God orchestrates our giving. And there are ripple effects that go beyond what we could even imagine. That as we give, there is a ripple effect that goes out. And let me give you one small example. Several years ago, there was a lady who called me and said, hey, I was praying and my husband was praying and we felt like we were supposed to give this X amount of dollars, several thousand dollars to this other family. Do you know of any needs in their life? No, I don't. I know that there's been some medical expenses, but all that's covered by insurance and we've been in conversation with them. And so I don't really know of any needs. Well, we feel called that we're supposed to give this, you know, several thousand dollars to them. Will you give it to them, but not let them know where it came from? So I took it to them and they said, is this from the church? No, it's not from the church. It's someone who gave. Who is it? Can you tell them? I want to tell them thank you. No, I can't tell you. And so the next day the lady called me after she looked at the amount and she said, whoever it was, would you tell them thank you? Because the amount, several thousand dollars, is this within $10 of what our insurance didn't pay through their medical expenses. And she just began to say, God is such a provider. He's never left us. We were discouraged through this medical time, and now we're just re-encouraged because we know that God took care of us in the past. He's taking care of us now. He's going to take care of us in the future. You see, the ripple effects of that going out are beyond what we could ever imagine of encouraging another family as we were obedient in giving. And so I love that story. The ripple of our effects continue to bless many and many and many beyond. So let's think about it corporately. That when your giving is combined with your giving and over there with over here and our giving comes together as a church, then what's happening, Chris, is we're blessing people in Morocco. You guys saw them here last week. We're blessing people in Oman where they are starting new house churches and it could cost them their life and with another couple out of the church. And it's blessing Thailand and Honduras and Guadalajara and Chi Alpha campus ministries around the country. And it's inviting your neighbors right down the street who are getting a mailer to come to Grace Hill. And it's blessing the benevolence and the needs in our community as we're serving the needy and the homeless behind the scenes that maybe you didn't even know. And it's blessing people and it's helping us to facilitate impact across our city, our nation, and the world. It helps us that one of our goals for 2017 is to expand our staff, and it helps to better facilitate impact in people's life because when our giving happens, it grows and the ripple effect impacts those around us beyond what we could ever imagine, and glory is brought to God. And then also, our giving blesses us. I mean, that's just a truth. That as we give, listen to the principle here, that it opens up the door of our lives, it opens up the door from heaven for the Lord to continue to be our provider in a supernatural way. The Bible talks about give and it will be given to you. The measure that you give will be returned. And knowing you are being a blessing, not even if there's a financial return, but knowing that we are blessing others, it somehow turns to us and it blesses us. And let me give you this principle. We just passed Christmas. And at Christmas, I want to bless my children. I want them to look up in the morning and open up their gifts and them to be happy with them. I want them to be surprised. I want to bless my kids. And I think in the same way that there's times that the Lord wants to bless us. That if we, as earthly fathers who are imperfect and earthly mothers who are imperfect, that if we want to bless our children, how much more would God, who's perfect, want to bless us? And at times it's hard to be obedient in these areas. And we're saying, Lord, help me grow in full devotion. That my challenge is for us to get out of our comfort zone and put God to the test. Because when we're giving, here's what we're doing. We're investing in something that we believe in. We're investing in the kingdom of God. We're blessing, we're investing in something we believe in, investing in the kingdom of God, believing that he is going to provide for us in return. In obedience, we're doing this, seeing provision in return. And so the guys, never any pressure. The deal is for us is that we give. I know that many of you give. And my whole thing is let's be obedient and generous for the provision to us and see God to continue to provide for our lives. Because the thing is, I want us to experience God's blessing in a fresh and powerful way. In our serving, in our inviting, in our giving. I'm talking the big picture. Let's put God to the test in this. So here's what disciples do. Disciples do this. Disciples attend. Disciples invite. Disciples serve. And disciples give. And so here's a closing principle that I want you today to write down on your sheets. That my prayer for us on the middle of January 2017 is this, is to be hearers of the word, that we're engaged in biblical community, we're engaged in small groups, we're engaged in Sunday morning, we're engaged in feeding ourselves during the week in devotional life, that we're engaged in hearing the word, but we're also then living it out as doers of the word. Everybody say doers. That we are doers of the word as well, because there it starts leading us to full devotion, leading us as to be deep disciples, that we're hearing it and then living it out, hearing it, applying it, hearing it, doing it, that's how our lives are played out. That, Lord, what I hear from you, I am putting into action. So let me give you an example. And we may edit this out. Let me give you an example. It was a family that she had, they had three kids in our youth group. And she began to tell her story. Her and her husband sat down one night and they were telling us their story. That in college they weren't believers. They had never been to church. They didn't know each other at this point, but they went to college in Tennessee, the mountains, and every weekend, some of the girls on her hall would go out and go camping every weekend. They would leave Friday after classes. They would hike out, and on Friday nights before they fell asleep, that they would all pull out their Bibles and read their Bibles. And she said, I didn't understand that, but I just thought these were great people. They were fun to be around. We hiked and laughed and cut up. Saturday morning, they'd get up and do like a 10-minute Bible study together. And then we'd hike all day. Saturday night, we'd all go home. And she said, it was just so much fun. And so I began to thought, what's this book they're reading? And she began to read it as well. And she made a decision to come to faith in Jesus Christ. So the part of the word that she had heard, she applied. Does this make sense? So she's reading the Bible a few months later, and it says, you know, it begins to talk about your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And she thought, okay, if God's in me now and my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, I should probably quit smoking pot. And so she understood the word, and she quit smoking pot. It's been 3 months. And then, a few months later, she's reading, and she begins to read the Bible in regards to immorality and sexual purity and holiness. And she thought, okay, I've given my heart to Jesus. My body's a temple, but I'm still doing inappropriate things with my boyfriend, and I need to cut this out. And immediately she cut it out because she was a hearer and doer of the word. Now, let me ask you a tough question. At what point was she a believer and saved? When she stopped sleeping with her boyfriend? She quit smoking pot? Or the moment she came to faith in Jesus Christ? Were these things inappropriate? Absolutely. Were they sinful? Yeah. But salvation came here, and she grew in discipleship and in following in his path. Now, what if she had heard these things and not done them? Not fully devoted. Not maturing in the Lord. Not growing. Does that make sense today? That at this moment here, she heard the word, she applied it. Moment here, she grew a little more. 5 months later, a little more she grew, and that she said, okay, God, I'm whatever you want. You have all my life, you have all my body, you have all my dreams, you have all my hopes, you have everything, God. I want everything. And at that moment of salvation, she wasn't holy yet. She was saved and forgiven, but she's grown in her relationship with God. Does that make sense? And so today, what are we hearing? And we have to live that out. That leads us to fully devoted followers of Christ as we hear and as we do the will and the word of God. Father, help us to be hearers and doers, God. Lord, disciples, they hear the word and they do it, Lord. And disciples, not out of duty and but out of this private time with you, and what comes out of this relationship with you, it comes to where we're connected to a bigger body of believers regularly. And Lord, out of so believing that what you've done in us can happen in others and you want to do in others, Lord, we invite. It's just what we do. And Lord, we serve. We've been given gifts and abilities that others don't have, and we mesh together as this beautiful body, different parts and different strengths and different weaknesses, but we're blessing and serving and giving and being given to and loving and being loved. And we're giving of our resources, Lord, partly not just for you, because you can provide infinitely more than we could give, but we're giving because it changes us. It brings glory to you, Lord, and ultimately it allows you to provide for us. It blesses us. So we're giving, Lord, not out of duty, not out of operating the machine, but we're giving out of love and obedience, realizing the ripple effects go beyond what we gave. So today, Lord, help us to be fully devoted disciples.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Grace Hill is always about knowing God and growing in God. And we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request or simply a question, you can email us at info@gracehill.cc.